Hello, name's Julia, and I work in Facebook in the containers team, mostly on the networking side, hence BPF. So in this talk, I will touch BPF system, subsystem in systemd. Basically, what is already there, what do we want to put there, and the road we need to take to reach our goals. But first of all, I have two questions to the audience. So, the first question is, how many of you know something about BPF? What is that? Just raise questions. Oh, wow. The second question is, how many of you know BPF and systemd? What are the applications, and how many of you familiar? Good. At least 30%, something. That's good. So I'll split this talk into a brief intro about what BPF is, and then I will focus more on BPF and systemd, and that's the part when I expect some of you will disconnect. That's okay. Let's jump in. So, BPF. So, what is this? Is why everybody is so excited about BPF? Because this is a virtual machine-like technology, which with the purpose to safely modify kernel behavior from the user space. So, it combines two approaches, kernel and user space approach. And safely means that the code which a user inject to a kernel is guaranteed not to crash, hang on, not to access some invalid memory addresses and so on. And applications are the major applications, networking and tracing. When a user wants to modify kernel behavior, what he do? Well, user write a program. And okay, what about the life cycle of this program? So what do you need to do in order your program to work? You need to compile, you need to load this program to a kernel, you need to attach the program to some hook point. Don't forget to detach the program when you no longer need it, and as soon as there are no reference to this program, kernel will unload it. So the ref count is essential to keep in mind the program is alive as soon as there is a reference to it. Let's look into detail how the interaction between user and kernel space. So you have a program in C, and you want this program to be loaded into kernel. What are the steps? So first step, you need to compile this program into BPF instruction set. So this is BPF assembly language. It's based on several instruction sets from several architectures, and you need to CLang LLVM. Once you have your program compiled, you need this bytecode to be loaded into kernel, and that's the place when I think the most sophisticated part of BPF system kicks in. Your program needs to be verified. To make sure it is actually safe to be loaded. So you have verifier, and after the verifier is done its job, you have a JIT compiler which translates your kernel to for the current platform. If platform is not supported, that's okay. There is an interpreter which can also so you can run your program with an interpreter. So once your program is loaded, it assigned a file descriptor, and ref count is greater than zero. remember like the life cycle, your program is loaded while you have reference to it. So this is like brief overview of BPF. Any questions before I actually jumped into like systemd part? Okay, like you can ask them later. So what do we have in systemd? So in systemd we have two subsystems. We have BPF firewall and we have device control. So with BPF firewall you can whitelist or like blacklist some IP addresses, all of them if you want. With device control you can specify which devices we want to support, like is it like read-only, what are the policies and so on. So this is two use cases which are present now in systemd. What's the problem and why do we want to touch it even further? It's because the current systemd infra is tailored for those use cases. It's kind of frozen in time because the code was taken from kernel, from UAPI and from like libbpf helpers. It was like copy pasted once and it exists there since then. It's not very. So do you see the right hand side there now? Oh, that's shame. Okay. So this is actually a BPF microassembly. Sad you didn't see it. It doesn't matter. So BPF microassembly. This is unfortunately the only way you can write BPF programs in systemd presently. It's a good way to learn about BPF technology. For example, you will learn that BPF instruction set has like 11 registers, but this is not very convenient to maintain, to read. And when I first looked into this code, I was very thankful for the person who left comments. Actually, this is counter. These are basically counters. What are the good news? The good news is that there is some custom BPF firewall support. It was added for firewall use case. So you can specify a path to BPF file system when your program is pinned. It's pinned means it's loaded and it has valid file descriptor, but this supports only one BPF program type, and you can attach only to egress or ingress hook. And another important part of BPF infra is flux. So currently, a present solution supports only multi-flux. There is override flux, it's cool to be able to override BPF programs as well. What are the like goals of this work, and why do we want to proceed? We want a user to be able to define, to load and attach custom cgroup programs. We want a user to be able to attach to various hook points and to do it like simply, like easily. This is from the user side. And we want systemd developer not to struggle with maintaining BPF infra. So you don't need to like dig into like BPF instruction set to understand what the hell is going on. We want to remember that copy-pasted code. We want new features out from the box. That's why, this is the final goals. But what about like milestones? So if you remember the slide with BPF program life cycle, you can load, you can compile, load, attach programs. So currently, we are in the milestone number one, so we can attach programs. And advertisement, I have a pull request, which is cool to be reviewed. It basically expands the BPF firewall into like other BPF attach types and flags. So like this will close milestone number three. But actually, we want more. We want more. So we want the programs not just to be attached. We want the programs to be loaded and to be compiled as well. And in order to do that, we need to be able to feed systemd with either object files, bytecode, or program in restricted C. And this is a noble goal, but it's not that simple, because like remember copy-paste. This copy-paste won't scale for like the last three milestones, and we need a help from libbpf. So libbpf is a user space library. You can think about it as a like set of wrappers upon system libbpf syscalls. So it do all the like dirty job for you. And we're particularly interested in two like wrappers. It's like the ability to load bytecode from buffer or like from path. And also like with libbpf is like very hot topic in the kernel. For example, like new initiative is like CORE. It stands for compile once, run everywhere. So what you need to do is to like compile a program on your platform. Then libbpf provides some guarantee that your program will be able to load into other kernels as well. And the cornerstone of compile once run everywhere initiative is BTF. BTF stands for BPF type format. So libbpf is awesome, and why we don't have it right now? Well, we tried, and it wasn't very successful because there is a lack of a package. So currently, the packaging of libbpf is in progress. The first attempt was made. It was made in the form of Git submodule. So, like, basically, you have two alternatives. You can copy paste, or you can try submodule, which is better. But systemd has pretty sophisticated tests, and submodule approach didn't work because we have to modify the tests. So this is like a workaround, which is too long. That's why tested package is better. The second limitation is libbpf is not tested well enough. At least this submodule approach showed us that we have problems because the first thing that pull request did, it crashed on some tests, on some sanitated tests, and we had some upstream patches to fix that. Approve that there is a problem, and how do we want to address the testability problem. So for testability, we need to check that libbpf is compatible with different kernels. Backward compatibility is a major concern because like when a kernel developer runs a new feature. He runs self-tests from kernel against that. This may not be enough because the feature might be compatible with older kernels. So what we want to do is we want to use Kimo. Kimo is virtualizing like infrastructure, so we can test libpf against several kernels. And we want to port some kernel self-tests into like our testing infrastructure. Then, in terms of packages, we want to switch to libpf package from a mirror. Currently, there are packages at least for Debian and Fedora, but they are built from kernel sources. And if you want to do testing, we want them to be built from the mirror, basically. Okay. So, the last thing I want to cover. This issue was raised in the pull request with Git submodule. LLVM dependency. So I know that some people concerned about we don't want LLVM runtime dependency. That's why let's not build C programs. Let's just store bytecode. Well, bytecode is definitely better than BPF programs being attached to BPF file system. There is a problem. You have to store like three entities instead of one. So you need to store C program itself, you need to store bytecode in big and little endian, and you need to keep everything in sync. And the point is, you don't need to do that because there is no compile time dependency. There is no runtime dependency, there is only compile time dependency for the LLVM. With the compile once run everywhere initiative, there are certain guarantees that the code you compile will run on with other kernels. I think it will also be covered in this conference. BPF support was recently added to GCC, which is awesome. Yeah. I say let's not like jump into it. Maybe like LLVM is something to be there for a while, but something to keep in mind. Implementation details. So we can just make a Mason build rule, and this rule will be compiling C code into C string buffer, and with libpf we can just read that bytecode from that buffer, and there will be like, if you look into the slide, it will be milestone number four. So we have systemd with the libpf programs stored as restricted C. These are the references. If you want to dig more, I really like Cilium guide. It's a like great overview, like in depth overview. If you really like the technology, and yeah, that's it. Like questions.
Okay. Dealing with government customers, they really don't like the idea of having any type of compiler on a system. You mentioned the object code and stuff. How close is that, or getting to the restricted compiler where it would only compile eBPF, and have governments looked into whether they'd be willing to accept that?
So you don't need to compile in runtime. So you need to compile once. That's the goal. So you compile once, and the program is translated into like hexadecimal placeholder. Means your Mason build rule dump the output of Clang into a stream. So you later can just load the program from that stream. So that means basically you need a build rule, but you can ship like systemd binary to prod machines without them being like without a LLVM. So no runtime dependency. You need runtime dependency for tracing. You need that, but for a systemd use case, which is networking mostly, you don't. But again, we need little BPF for that.
You might get your pull request pre-approved.
One question. As you mentioned, we have these two BPF programs currently in place, like the firewall and the devices one. And in case of the firewall, all the actual IP addresses are stored in a BPF table. So taking the BPF code and building it with LLVM is going to be easy because the BPF code is actually going to be the same everywhere. So you can pre-compile and everything's good. But at least in the current implementation of the other part about the devices stuff, it actually, I mean, we generate the structure there and it's specific to what the policy is actually that shall be enforced, right? Like it looks up the major minor numbers of the device nodes, not in a table in an external one, but it actually generates it into the code, right? So what's your strategies there? Like, would, like, if we adopt this, I mean, and I presume we would, is the assumption then that we change this all to become tables, or what's the story there?
Yeah, I think the idea is to use BPF maps. So whatever like we want to provide from the user space, we use maps, a hash table. Yeah.
So are you going to work on that?
yes. there is. I don't have the strict deadlines, but yeah. So the goal is to like get rid from the BPF microassembly. Yes, it's to rewrite firewall and devices.
Okay, that would be excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Okay, commitments. Okay.
Any further questions? No. Thank you, Julia.
Thank you.